Hello, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. My name is Patsy Carlberg. I'm a retired United Methodist pastor, and I'm pleased to be here with you today. So let's get started. My husband, Forrest, is a retired Canadian Baptist pastor. One time he and I were somewhere, we met this man, and going through the usual chit-chat about where we were from and what we did and so on, the man asked us, well, what's it like living in a household with two pastors? I answered quickly, quiet. Forrest and I are rather contemplative, spending a great deal of time reading or studying. We rarely have the TV on during the day, and at night it's on for just a few programs. We like it that way. It suits us. So when we go to visit our children or my sister, we have a hard time. You see, when we're at Angela's house, there are her three children, and although Isaac is 22 and Caleb 18, they are still around. Bella is 8. In addition to them, Angela and her husband foster three other children, a set of 4-year-old twins and a 9-year-old girl. In addition, there are 2 dogs and 3 cats. From the crack of dawn until almost 8 p.m., there is a lot going on. And it's not that they're bad children. They're not. They're good, sweet children. It's just that they're, you know, busy and healthy, for which we give thanks to God. For contemplatives like Forrest and me, the few days we spend with our loved ones are almost too many. We can't wait to get back home to the quiet. I do want to point out, however, that it seems like we, all of us, seem to be constantly bombarded with noise. Have you noticed that you can't go anywhere without background music or noise? The grocery store, Walmart, the doctor's office, even when driving in traffic, as if the noise of cars and sirens wasn't enough. Someone is glad to share what he or she is listening to on their car radio. Even at our house, as quiet as it might seem to many people, there's always some noise or other, be it the washing machine or the dishwasher, or the weed eater, or the neighbor cutting grass, or cars driving by. Television and radio producers avoid silent times during broadcasts and call it dead air. Dead air. It seems that we have to have noise of some type or else we get really uncomfortable, don't we? The air, the silence, appears dead to us. Even at church, it seems that we are uneasy with silence. Some churches build silence in with their prayer time and not too much silence time because then we start to fidget. Wouldn't it be something if for a minute we just sat in church in silence? I wonder what might happen. What do you think we are trying to block out with all the sounds, all the noise of our daily lives? Are we afraid we might encounter something scary in the silence? God, maybe? This story of the prophet Elijah that I'm about to read to you may not be much help, or maybe it will be. Let's see what it has to do with our avoidance of silence. But before I read today's passage, we've got to turn to 1 Kings 12 and get a quick rundown of what's happened to Elijah. There was a terrible drought in Israel brought on by God as a punishment for King Ahab's worshiping the pagan god Baal. Elijah prophesied this, and after he did, he had to leave quickly, and he hid out at the widow of Sidon's house, where miraculous events kept him and the widow's household well-fed and watered. The widow's son died, but Elijah, through the power of God, revived the child. After 3 years of drought and hiding out, God told Elijah to go back and have another little talk with Ahab. So Elijah did, only he didn't just come right out and talk. He arranged a contest between himself, a prophet of Almighty God, and the prophets of Baal, some 450 prophets in all on their side. The contest was to place a sacrificial bull on an altar of wood and call on Baal and Almighty God to set the offerings on fire. Whoever's God succeeded first would be the real God. The prophets of Baal went first, and they spent the whole day calling on Baal to send down fire to light the altar. Nothing happened. Nothing. Elijah taunted the prophets of Baal. Maybe your God is having a nap. Yell louder, he said. Then at dusk, Elijah soaked his altar with barrels of water, so much so that water flowed off the altar and filled the trench that surrounded it. Then he called on the Lord to send down fire, And God did, and the altar caught on fire, and all the water evaporated. The people bowed down and praised Almighty God as the one true God. Elijah called on them to attack and kill all the prophets of Baal, and they did. Elijah prayed hard some more, and the rains came. God ended the three-year drought he brought upon the people. Well, Queen Jezebel was none too happy about the deaths of the prophets of the God she worshipped. So she ordered all the prophets of Almighty God to be killed, and they were, except for Elijah, who became a hunted man, and that's where we are today. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 20. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." And then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him and said, "Get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." God said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Elijah answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away." Then the Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill. And whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed down to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." We see this man Elijah zealous for the Lord God Almighty, doing God's will despite having to go up against the rulers of the land and popular opinion. He had to call upon all of his natural talents and his energy. Even after creating a marvelous victory for God, he is threatened with death. He had hoped to convince not only all the people of Israel to return to God, but also Ahab and even Jezebel. But his efforts didn't work. Maybe now we can see why he might be just a bit burnt out, as we say today. Listen to the psalm for today, Psalm 70, and see if you can relate. "Hasten, O God, to save me. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May those who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, 'Aha, Aha! Turn back because of their shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great, but as for me, I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. Lord, do not delay. I've been there, haven't you? For example, when I turned in my last paper for my last class in seminary, I went to the half-priced bookstore there in Dallas, and I bought brain candy. Books with no redeeming value whatsoever, except that they were easy and fun to read. It was as if my brain could not take in any more information. It was full up, and I was full up. I was exhausted mentally, physically, and even spiritually. I lay around in my pajamas for 2 days reading trashy novels. And then I got up and started packing to come home to Alabama because I had a job to do. Perhaps you too are full up or on your last nerve, as we say. Your job, your children, your spouse, the neighbors, your good works, for Pete's sake, have just worn you down. So notice what happened to Elijah. He was taken care of, wasn't he? God continuously, constantly provided Elijah's needs. God knew that the man had done all he could to proclaim the word of God, and God rewarded him by taking care of him. In this incident, God provided safety. God provided food and water, and God provided rest. God provided human companions and replacements. And if there were any around, I bet you God would have provided some brain candy for Elijah to read. Elijah wasn't the only one of the great prophets to get burned out. We read in the Exodus accounts of Moses, who grew so tired of the Hebrew children whining. He orchestrated a great event on Mount Sinai that impressed the crowds with its thunder and lightning, its earthquakes and fire. But shortly thereafter, the Hebrew children went and worshiped a golden calf. So much for a wondrous demonstration of the power of God. Moses, too, asked God to just kill him now, rather than have to go back to what he called those stiff-necked people. God rewarded Moses for his zeal for the Lord by revealing God's self to Moses. God appeared then in God's glory and in a cloud. So perhaps Elijah, when told God would come to him in the mountain, by the way, the very same mountain where God appeared to Moses those centuries before, perhaps he expected God to come as a fire, or in the wind, or in an earthquake, or thunder and lightning. But no, God came to Elijah without the big production. Elijah had to learn that being zealous, as necessary as that is not enough. It takes patience and commitment to educate people about the covenant relationship God has with his people. It takes patience and commitment to communicate the will of God to people, especially us stiff-necked people. And it takes patience and commitment to teach others about God so that their lives are transformed and they live to serve God and not the world and its temptations. There is another lesson here for Elijah and for us. You see, when we get down, beaten, or just plain tired, we cannot think of anything or anybody but ourselves. Did you hear Elijah? Not once, but twice. He told God all about him and his needs and his desires and his woes. If we're not careful, then we too can become so focused on ourselves and our troubles that we do not hear or see that others too have needs and that God needs us. God was not through with Elijah. He still had work for him to do. Verse 20 in the 1 Kings 19 passage tells us that God reserved 7,000 faithful Israelites. 7,000. Yes, Elijah had work to do. So God refreshed Elijah with rest and food and drink, and yes, paid attention to his woes. Isn't that amazing? We learn from Elijah that we can take our sorrows, our frustrations, our anger, our tiredness, our burnt outness to God, and God will hear us and take care of us. God will refresh us too and provide us with the bread and the wine of Holy Communion, and yes, even pay attention to us when we complain God has even provided a companion and a Savior for us to forgive us of our sins and carry our burdens on His shoulders. You see, God is not through with us either. God still has work for us to do as well. And what is that work? Well, it's the Great Commission, of course. It's going out into the world and telling those who need to hear some good news for a change that they are loved by an awesome God, a God who is more powerful than all the baseless idols people tend to worship nowadays, like fame and fortune. This awesome God is a God who comes to us in powerful ways, the most powerful way, perhaps, being in silence. One more point. The expression in the New Revised Standard Version has as the sound of sheer silence, translated from the Hebrew, which means the voice of small silence. The King James Version has this phrase as the still small voice. The still small voice. Even in the silence, there is a voice. There is a voice that yearns for us to listen, that yearns for us to hear. So now I've got my phone here, and I'm going to set the timer for 30 seconds, just 30 seconds, and we're going to be still and quiet and silent. Listen. Listen. What do you hear in the silence? Those days when it seems that you just cannot go on, that you just cannot take one more step, know that God cares for you and God will provide. Know that God is not through with you yet. Know that God has a job for you to do. So my challenge is this. Turn off the TV, the radio, the iPod, the iPad, the iPhone, and just sit for a moment and be still. Listen. What is the sound of the silence you hear? Let us pray. Open our hearts, O Lord, to feel the powerful strength and love you have for us. Help us to listen not only with our ears, but with our spirits for your words of compassion and healing. Enable us to become more faithful disciples for you. We know, eternal God, your steadfast love is with us yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Whether we turn away or doubt, whether we follow timidly or joyfully, we are loved and forgiven in Christ, and so we are truly grateful for your mercy and for your goodness to us. All this we pray in the precious and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.